Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Real excited to be able to give the word here this day. I believe the Lord has given me a word that's for each and every one of us, whether this is your first time to meet with us or you've been here for years. I'm going to speak on a topic here this day that is crucial to the growth of the church. Amen. So as we get ready here this morning, I would just ask if everybody can take their seats and the move around would come to an end. And I would pray that you would take notes, that you become serious about your walk with the Lord. Amen. That you would want to grow and retain as much as possible. And at times, because we got so much going on up here, it's hard to retain anything. Especially when it's the truth that can change the situation on how you're thinking up here. So here this day, you gotta really want to grow in the Lord, amen, to take notes and to be a student, amen, so that the Lord would be able to do what he wants to do in your life and through your life. It's important. It's important. It's about retention. It's scary how much people retain after service is over on what was truth. But it's so much easier to remember all the lies of the enemy. It's so much easier to remember everything that he's doing right now. It's just so easy to remember. How many know at times it's easier to remember a lie than the truth? Amen. So I challenge you here this day, amen, to be a man, a woman, a young adult that takes notes. Amen. That way you can go back home and, you know, look over the notes and make sure I was giving correct information. Amen. Instead of just saying amen for an hour, that you would go home and be able to proof what I have said. Amen. The theme here for these next coming of months is Operation SOS 200. SOS standing for the Salvation of Souls. Salvation of Souls. And the world knows SOS is a time of distress. Ships would do it. And they would send up an SOS, amen, for people afar could see that they were in danger. Amen. So there's a SOS 200. 200 represents what we're trying to accomplish in church growth here this year, that by the end of the year, when next January comes around, that we would have 200 or better in the church. And in doing so, we're gonna have to follow instructions to what's being given from behind the pulpit right now. Amen. It's very important if we're gonna answer the SOS 200 and be a part of the solution, the strategy that God is wanting to use to bring in 200 or better people this year. It's not just for numbers. I say it's the salvation of numbers. Amen. People getting saved, getting their lives in order by putting Christ first within their lives. I'm living proof 25 years later that when you surrender and you put the Lord first in your life, that he backs up everything he says in his word and his promises for your life, not only my life, but for your life as well. So once again, I welcome everyone here this Sunday morning, those viewing online. I pray that the Holy Spirit touch you right there in your living quarters, that you have an experience here this day and be spoken to. Amen. Operation SOS 200. Now I'm going to add on to that evangelism. I'm going to be pushing evangelism. Amen. Evangelism. Amen. I spoke about a week ago, and they're going in the streets just about every day now. We're going to the streets on right after the service is over, and I'm going to lead the way. We're going to the streets. Amen. Whether it was snowing or whether it wasn't snowing, we were going anyhow, but by the time the service lets out, it's going to be beautiful, warm weather outside. Amen? So we're going to be hitting the streets afterwards, and applying what we have learned here this morning through the instructions that are from the Lord coming through your pastor. Amen. As we go to the Word of God here this morning, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 32. I want to thank all the givers, the faithful givers that have been giving, those that have been giving online. We have a lot of people right now being faithful giving online that are not able to be here in person, amen, but it's still faithful giving online. So I personally want to thank you and all those that are here, present here this morning, that have faithfully been giving, amen, to the cause of the SOS, amen, of the salvation of souls here this day. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32, we're going to be doing a lot of reading, amen, so you need to stay very, very focused, amen. A matter of fact, I want everybody to stand right now and stretch it out right now. Come on. Everybody. I believe the Lord's got a word for you right now. I believe the Lord's got not only a word for you, but someone you love. So we need to wake it up because it's real easy after, come Holy Spirit, and your presence. I think I want a praise song before we start the message, amen? So wake yourself up right now. Train yourself. It's time to hear truth, amen? To remove the lies of the enemy, amen? As we go into the word of the Lord, you may have your seats once again. Train yourself to stay awake, to stay alert, amen? Praise the Lord. So the Bible reads, so be careful to obey all the commands I give you. You must not add anything to them or subtract anything from them. I'm going to read that again. So be careful to obey all the commands I give you. You must not add anything to them or subtract anything from them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. Move me to the side, Lord, and speak here this day unto your people, Lord, that we may be able to carry out your instructions here this day through the vehicle of evangelism. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here we're called to a caution to be careful not to add or subtract anything to the word of the Lord. Amen. In Revelations 21:27, the Bible reads, nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful adultery and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Speaking about heaven, amen. So the first verse we open up with, not to add or subtract anything from the word of the Lord. And then the second scripture says at the real end, but only those whose names are written. Written is a key word right there. Names who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lamb's Book of Life, amen. As I go to the book of Acts here this day, the book of Acts, chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading from all the way from verse 1 all the way clear to verse 14. If you don't have your Bible, every scripture given here this morning will be on the screens. Amen? As we read verse 1. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised." As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times," key part right here, "and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, in West Allis, on the south side, the north side, the east side, the west side, and to the ends of the earth, in Panama, in Africa." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. So here we did a lot of reading in the book of Acts, in the beginning of it all, when God was about to do something, not only through his son Jesus, but through the disciples. Amen? In verse 7, the disciples asked Jesus a question if the time had come, and Jesus replied in verse 7, he said, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." Here in verse 7, we find out that we don't have to know everything to receive the power of the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. That you and I don't need to know everything to receive Holy Ghost power. Amen? In verse 8, the Bible reads, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. My second point tells us also that you don't need to know everything about Jesus to be his witnesses. So we all ought to feel real confident right now to be able to be recipients of his power, of what he's going to do in your life, through your life. You don't need to know everything. And a lot of times, the Christian, the man, the woman, the young adult walks in fear, saying, I can't do this Jesus thing. It's too hard. I don't know what to do. Well, we come to find out in verse 7 and verse 8 in the book of Acts of chapter 1 that you don't need to know everything to receive power from the person of the Holy Spirit. And that you don't need to know everything about the Bible, everything about Jesus, to be able to be his witness. Tells us you can be saved one couple of days. Tells us by the end of this hour message, you'll be able to go with us to the streets and be a witness of the Lord. The strategy of Jesus of evangelism was not only for the early church, but as well for the end time church. It wasn't just the book of Acts thing that was to be followed, but it was instructions given to the disciples, even for the end church, end time church as we know today. Jesus not only spoke of it, but I put here, but he demonstrated how it was done. Speaking about evangelism, for 3 years with them, he demonstrated how to evangelize, not only saying the right things, going to the right places, but evangelizing in power. Going in a resurrection power and setting people free spiritually, physically, healing. And he demonstrated everything he did. He just didn't talk about it. And if we're not careful, we can talk about evangelism, but never get down to doing evangelism. And allowing God to demonstrate his power in and through our lives to be obedient unto his instructions. His very disciples were the results of his evangelism. He chose the 12 by evangelizing. He went and picked unto him disciples. He won them through evangelism. And they were all from different walks of life, as we are here this day and viewing online. We are chosen of the Lord. And he wants his church, his body, his sons and daughters to move in power. And one of the ways you're going to move in the power of the Lord is to be a witness of the Lord. It's one of the ways. And I believe somebody's lacking power right now within their life. And the cause of it, or the result of it, or the reason why, could be because you're not being a witness of what Jesus has done in your life. His very disciples were the results of his evangelism, that in return would turn the whole world upside down through evangelism. In verse 9,
The Bible reads, after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Amen. His very last words to his disciples was evangelism. That the promise of the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them in power. That they were going to be his witnesses. That they didn't have to have it all together to be used by God in a mighty and powerful way. His very last words spoken to his disciples said, very great importance of instructions that could not be forgotten. That could not be forgotten. He could have said many things there at the end and his departure. This was after his resurrection. He had showed himself several times to the disciples, scripture says. And then he said these last words to them, and he was taken up into heaven, the Bible tells us. In verse 12, the Bible reads, then the apostles that were watching him go up, amen, and after he disappeared, verse 12 says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from, they were at a place, amen, from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile, amen. The very same place that they would pray, the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, amen? The very same place of prayer that days before he would ask the Father to take the cup of suffering away from him. The very same place where his own disciples would fall asleep on him. The very same place where he would say, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Tells us that God is able to do his best work in our hardest time in making decisions based on obedience. I put here, obedience brings resurrection power. The very place where Jesus was being crushed and tormented, bleeding sweats of blood on his faith before the Father. A place where at the end he would come to his senses and say, not my will, but thy will be done. It was at that very place where he had to make the right decision of every hard place in his life. And it was at that same place where the Lord would take him up into heaven, the place that almost took him out, the place where he could have made a wrong decision in obedience to the will of the Father, was a place that he was speaking to his disciples, a place where he would be raptured, depart from, into heaven. They would look at him disappear into the clouds, into heaven. It's the very place, days before, where things were not going good for him. Tells us that God is able to do his best work in our hardest time in making decisions, not just any decisions, but decisions of obedience. Because it's in those tough times that we're thinking about, should I do it or should I do this? Should I do it? And you know the obedience answer. But you're trying to get out of it the way you want to do it. The way you feel it's right. When deep in your heart, you know better. You know the will of God. You know what he has called from your life. And it's in these hard times, I believe these hard times are still hard, even when we have the right answer. Based on God's word, based on the call upon our lives. But many times the work of the enemy will come in these hard times and try to put a twist on your call upon your life for you to abort it by making an easier move that you think is the right move, knowing deep in your heart it's one of disobedience. Here at this very same place where he was sweating drips of blood would now become the place where he would speak his very last words to the disciples and be departed unto heaven. It's why you and I are here this day. The Father honored it because his decision was one based on obedience. In verse 13, the Bible reads, the Bible says that they left that place, amen, the Mount of Olives. And when they left, the Bible says, when they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are some of the names of those who were present. Tells us that some that should have been there weren't there. That's between the lines. That's what it tells me. Nevertheless, it gives several of the names that were present on that day in that upper room. In that house, the Bible says, where they were staying at. I put here on my notes that every one of our homes, our houses, will face hard times. There's no way around that one. No way around that one. You can be good walking in obedience, and your house will face hard times where you're going to face many hard decisions that you're going to have to make. And prayerfully based on God's word, in obedience to his word of truth in every one of our homes. No matter what side of the tracks you live at, every one of our homes will be faced with hard times and hard decisions. Bad things will take place in our houses. Good things will take place in our houses. And the Bible says that they left the Mount of Olives there. They heard the words of Jesus. They saw him leave into the clouds, into heaven. And that they went back to Jerusalem. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. What room in your house do you stay in? Here, where they were staying. In the place of the room that you spend most time in your house, apartment, does more good take place or more bad take place in that room where you are staying? What's taking place? Because we all live somewhere, amen? We all have an address we stay at. The question is your house a house of prayer? Because in every house, there will be hard times and troubles. Where no matter what you do, even in addiction, will never be the answer with him or her. Will never be the answer. And you find yourself in your house, your apartment, and you want to do good. You want to do great. A matter of fact, you want to do great. There's someone you want to make proud. And you want to do good, but the place where you stay, things ain't right. Things ain't going the way you would want them to be going. And I would have to ask the question, is the place you stay at a house of prayer? Is it a place where you're growing in the things of the Lord? When I left this house right next to the church where now Pastor Felipe and Lily stay with their family, there's a lineage in that house. In that very house, the rehab has been there since day one, which automatically makes it the house of prayer. Pastor Jamie and his wife Tammy lived in that same quarters where Pastor Felipe and Lily live in right now, with a little girl running around up and down the hallways, in a place of prayer, in a place where good things and bad things would take place, where trouble would come, where revelation would come, where making many important decisions would come. And because I lived in that house, upstairs you would be sure to know that there was prayer taking place every day in that house. And that's why, even though we faced many hits, I faced many hits, many attacks of the enemy, good ones, I'm still preaching the gospel. Pastor Jamie's sisters, Tammy, are still preaching the gospel in Jacksonville, Florida. Pastor Felipe and Lily are still preaching the gospel because that house is a house of prayer. Take the prayer out, I wouldn't be here. Jamie wouldn't be in Jacksonville. And Pastor Felipe and Lily would not be sitting here this morning. Everybody's house is going to face hard times. There's no way around it. My question is that quarter of yours, that place you stay in, a place of prayer? Because even if it's a place of prayer, I've made many decisions by the hair of my chinny chin chin, I'm still here. With the backing of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. How much more do you think you would be able to make it in these end times with no prayer in your house? It's impossible. It's impossible. But nevertheless, through the grace and mercy of the Lord, you find yourself at church this morning. A house of prayer. The church has been bombarded since the day I got here, 19 years ago. But the doors are still open in this building because this building is a house of prayer. The question is your house a house of prayer? It's not if you have problems there or not. That's a given. Because God is wanting to do a resurrection miracle of power in your house, in somebody's life that you love. He's wanting to do a resurrection power in the very place that your daughter, your son, husband, wife is being defeated right now, at their place of being crushed like they'll never make it. God is wanting to do a miracle in that very same place of you, where you are defeated, to bring a resurrection miracle of power on your behalf. But prayer is going to have to be part of what's taking place. I know my daughter don't like me talking about her, but we never stopped praying for her. And when she couldn't pray for herself, there's power in prayer of intercession. The prayer of intercession can't be stopped. So if your daughter or your son, your husband or wife is not wanting to hear it, well, start. Jesus always wants to hear it. Start turning your instructions, your prayer to that person who don't want to hear it, and start giving it to the Lord through a prayer intercession to bring that certain person within your life that you love to the place where the Lord to do a resurrection power move. Some of you got someone in your mind right now that there's no way that person will ever change. You know his name right now as I'm speaking. You know her name. Some of you know more than one that you've gotten to a place where it's not even worth it. It's not even worth wasting your time on it. Not according to the Bible. The Bible says we don't have to know everything, and God still wants to give power. He still wants us to be his witnesses, to talk on his behalf. In verse 13, the Bible says, here are the names of those who were present. Tells us that there was some that should have been there, but were not. And the proof of that, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, Peter was speaking, he says, brothers, he said, the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Judas, who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit speaking through King David. Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us. So here we find that Judas, though he was one of them, was not one of them that was in position in that upper room within that house. In verse 20, they had to come up with solutions. So Peter continued. This was written in the book of Psalms, where it says, let his home become desolate with no one living in it. It also says, let someone else take his position. It was so ironic. On Friday, Brother Alberto was preaching, and I don't know what he was saying, but I leaned over to Pastor Felipe and said, my pastor would always say that you can be replaced. I said, when he would say it, it was kind of like mean. When he would preach it behind the pulpit, it didn't fit who he was. And he would always say, God will replace you with someone else. And Felipe kind of looked at me and he said, yeah, it's true, you know. And I was reading this morning, I found it in Scripture. Let someone else take his position. I put it here, you can't be replaced by being out of position, Pastor Herb saying. Now found in Scripture. In Deuteronomy, what I opened up with, simple message here this day. The Bible reads, so be careful to obey all the commands I give you. You must not add anything to them or subtract anything from them. The Bible clearly tells us not to add to the word of the Lord or to subtract from the word of the Lord. I say we can add to the word of the Lord. Amen. I say we can add onto the word of the Lord, because the Bible tells us the book of Acts is a book that's still under writing. And the way we can add on to the word and still be obedient And that's by the winning of the lost and bound unto Jesus. The SOS. The operation SOS 200. It's evangelism, where God himself will write in the Lamb's Book of Life names that will be saved today through evangelism. I believe the Lord is ready there, ready to write, not on his iPad. Thank you, Jesus, and the Bible says it. He's not ready to type on his iPad, but he's ready to write. And he's waiting on you and I, the church, to lead people unto him, that he may be able to write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we will be able to add not only to the word of the Lord correctly, but unto the kingdom of God through the salvation of souls. It was the last instructions of Jesus given to the disciples. And the Bible says as he went up, amen, the Bible says that in the same way, he will come. Simple message here this day, amen, that we all need to be part of what the Lord is wanting to do in these end times that we're living in. And that we must remember, I'll never forget the bondage I was in the streets. The last place in my mind was going to church. It was the last thing on my mind, in my hustle of my mind, in my destruction, in my addiction. I really didn't like the situation I was, but I liked the dope better than the situation I was in. But one day, Jesus entered my life, and he set me free. And he made me very aware of what goes on in the streets, in every corner, in every color. That what the enemy used for evil, God has now turned it for the good and given me wisdom in how to evangelize in the streets in the power of God and being a witness, telling people about Jesus. That's how simple the gospel is. And that we don't have to know everything to have Holy Ghost power. Amen. We don't have to know everything to be chosen of God to be his witnesses. And too many times we grade ourselves too highly just to have us flunk our own test of ourselves and what we think of ourselves. When God is just wanting you to get in position, that the promise of his Holy Spirit can fill you in power so that you can go tell people everywhere, means at the place of work, after work, before work, in church, after church, of what Jesus has done in your life. Just as his disciples were the proof of his evangelism, we are the proof of the evangelism that took place in our ministry over 54 years ago through our founder, through our elders, multi-regionals, regional pastors. We are now the recipients and disciples that carry power, the eyewitness of who Jesus is and what he has done not only in our lives, but what he can do in anybody's life. As the worship team kindly makes their way forward here this day. It was very important what was taking place in the house of the disciples where they were staying. Very important for us to be where we're at here today. And even though persecution was taking place and the doors were locked, the promises of the Lord
could not be kept out.
So it brings me great joy with my daughter now saved and about to go to Amsterdam to start her life in the things of the Lord. We were going home the other day and she was talking real good. And I was listening. Everything she was saying, it was about the Lord. It's 30 minutes for us to get home there in Germantown. And she caught herself, and at the end she said something like, "Man, I'm getting myself into something, ain't I?" I said, "Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. It's going to be hard. Matter of fact, it's going to be real hard. It's going to be real hard. But you can do it. You can make it. All the other ones there in that class are going to be struggling also, are going to be told what to do, when to do it, how fast to do it. But it's going to make you into that great woman of God where you'll be able to come back to the city," she goes, "because I want to show what the Lord is able to do." Later on, she'll catch that she had praying parents and has praying parents. And there was more pieces to the puzzle, not just because I'm a praying parent and my wife is, but she would leave our house up there. I go, "She ain't gonna make it over 2 weeks." Because we did everything for her. Everything was done for her. But sending her over here was the best thing, to get in her little car and to get on with her bad self and to leave the house. I remember there was a time when she was 15 before going, "I can't wait till I turn 18. I'm so out of here." And she became 18. She became 19. She became 20. She was still at the house. It's not that easy out there. It's not that easy out there. Don't mean you can't make it. There was Pastor Felipe, there was Lily, those other points to the bullet, somebody that shared the word at the conference, got used a lot of people, the once in a while gang services she went to. Even though she might not have been obedient to all of them, even though she wasn't at all of them, Jesus was always with her. He was always with her. And sometimes it's hard to see that the Lord is with your son, your daughter, your marriage. Because when we're going through it, we can't find Jesus. But one of the best ways to find Jesus is through prayer. Prayer is calling out unto his name. And little by little, Bianca now, what I had one time thought was going to take a little bit longer, is now getting ready to take off. And that can happen for anybody here this day. But your plan has got to be a godly plan. You can't just put the Jesus spin on it. It's got to be a godly plan of obedience. Because the enemy's always, always wanting to give a shortcut to the people of God. I thank the Lord that Jesus surrendered it all to be a model, to demonstrate for my life to surrender all. Because it's through our sacrifices that others at the very place they're stuck will be resurrected in the power of Christ. And it's important here this day, if you want to walk away with something from the message today and what's taking place in your house, it's important, very important what's taking place in your house. I would advise you to get a little CD player, DVD, whatever the technology of today you have, And that you allow worship music to play in your house constantly throughout the day. Worship music. Just worship music. And to start calling out to the Lord a few minutes a day. Nobody else has to hear you. And you cry from the Lord from your heart and saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. I've done so much, but I still feel like I'm at the same place. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Go ahead. Jesus, I need you. He's here. He hears. Many don't call out to the Lord because when you do, He's going to call for you to make adjustments and changes in your life. Of what currently might be taking place in your house to bring some of those things to an end. Because He wants to set you free. He wants to use you. He wants you to have His power. He wants you to be His witness to what He's able to do in your life. As we stand on this beautiful day, I'm going to open up the altars here this day. And I want you to make the altar call and say, Pastor, everybody thinks I'm doing good, but inside, things ain't right within my life. Things ain't right. I'm done looking a certain way. Because I know that you're looking at the innermost of my heart right now. And Jesus, I don't want to look good for man, for woman, but I want to look good for you on what you see within my heart. Oh, in the name of Jesus, the Lord's looking for someone to resurrect. The Lord's looking for someone to set free, to allow you to achieve areas of success that come from Jesus, where you can say, Jesus did this for me. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is looking for someone to fill with His power. He's looking for someone He can use as a witness here after the service to evangelize. Some of you need to get tired and sick and tired of not accomplishing what God wants, and until then you will always